This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
It's time to tell our Podmeets World listeners that if you're currently tuning in via headphones, it's time you take audio seriously and join the JLab family.
JLab offers incredible sound for all of life's moments.
It's tech done better. Consumers deserve better than the same old tech they've been stuck with.
Instead of high price tags, everyone should have access to new innovations and products they actually want. So JLab thought, hey, why not do something about it?
What are you waiting for? Get out there and join the JLab family.
JLab.com. JLab, your kind of tech.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Okay, so Danielle, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And this question comes from my wife, because we were talking last night, and Sue was like, hey, can you ask Danielle something for me?
Okay.
So my wife is a personal trainer, as you know, and
yes.
works out quite a bit.
So good.
Yeah, she's pretty good at what she does. And she works out sometimes like twice a day. And she knows that you have your hair care line, and she loves a lot of the stuff that you use, that you make. But what she said is, she's like, can you ask Danielle if there's such a product where, because I work out so much, I obviously don't want to wash my hair twice a day because it gets whatever it is, the biotanical. She's trying to explain it to me, where it takes good stuff out of her hair, apparently, when you wash it too many times. So is there such a product? Do you make such a product? Do you know what she can use to where it's, I guess, like washing your hair with... She tried to explain it to me. Do you know what she's talking about?
Yes. So obviously, every time you wash your hair, you're stripping your hair of all of its natural oils, and you're like re-irritating your scalp. Like our bodies, for the most part, kind of take care of themselves. Of course, they get dirty and we need to wash them. But if you wash too often, your body doesn't really know what's going on. And actually, washing too often can make you have like greasier hair than you normally would. So you want to go as long as possible between washes for optimal hair and scalp health. So if you're working out twice a day, like she is, that can be really difficult, especially because she has pretty fine hair. So I'm sure. So, My number one thing that I would recommend is, and I am not a fan of dry shampoos. I had not been. I never used them. I thought they always looked like cakey. I hated the way they felt in my hair. I run my hands through my hair all the time. But Be Free by Danielle Fishel, my hair care line, created a dry shampoo that I am obsessed with. It's a really fine powder and it comes with a brush. And you can put as much or as little as you want on the brush. And then you part your hair, put it there, and keep parting anywhere where you have too much oil. And then flip your head upside down, run your fingers through your hair, and that powder will absorb all the excess oil and you won't be able to see it. It's really lightweight. It doesn't make your hair feel weighed down, but she can definitely skip a wash or maybe even two by using our dry shampoo. And
Do you use this in the shower?
No.
So this is without wetting your hair.
Without needing to wet your hair.
Hence the dry shampoo, Will. Thank you for that. Exactly.
Okay. It's dry. Okay. And so she could really, like, one of my favorite things about it is, especially if you do a workout in the afternoon and then you have somewhere you want to go that night and you're like, yeah, I don't have time to hop in the shower and do a full wash of my hair and then a styling. You can really go from workout, use some dry shampoo, and your hair will be fresh and bouncy and light, and you can style it as you normally would and you can go about your day. So that's what I would recommend to her. That would be my number one.
All right. I'm going to need you to send me some of that stuff.
I will send it to you.
Will, do you still shower like twice a day?
Not because of the water situation. The water situation in California has gotten so bad that what used to be my happy place, I just can't do anymore, unfortunately. It'd be unconscionable for me to shower as much as I did.
You also used to read your scripts in
the
shower.
I still read in the shower. I still read in the shower every day. I read this morning in the shower.
Before table read, Will is in the shower with his screenplay in hand, right?
Yeah. Yeah, lying on the bottom of the shower, yes, raining down on me, hanging out the side, reading my script. Yeah,
this is how Eric came out of Will. This is where he created Eric and all of his other work from that position.
Yeah,
what a weird fact.
I was the craziest person in the world, and then I saw Trumbo, where he wrote all of his screenplays while sitting in the bathtub. And he had like a thing built over his bathtub where his typewriter was. And I was like, it's not just, you know, obviously not as talented as him, but
funny.
I still, to this day, I read a little bit of my book, read about Elizabeth the First this morning, taking a shower.
Unbelievable.
Every day. Yeah.
Well, I know so much about you after this week.
The underwear in this.
Can we get into other people's weird picadillos in the future episodes? Is that possible?
That's true. Sure. We've covered a lot of your fasting.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of Will's body and diet.
Yikes. Yeah. I'm not like that. I'm not like an eccentric guy either. At least I didn't think so. But
I don't know, man. The underwear thing is pretty eccentric.
That's pretty eccentric.
I think it's pretty awesome. I'm right now just sitting in peanut butter like everybody does, but that's normal, right? I don't know. Oh, geez.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
So today we are recapping season 1, episode 14, The B-Team of Life. It originally aired January 28th, 1994. The synopsis is that Corey struggles with only making second string on the basketball team and starts to think his family isn't paying attention to him. And it was directed by David Trainer. It was written by Jeff Minnell, who is going to be a guest on our podcast. Guest cast, we have Ahmad Stoner as Harris. He's best known as No Nap in Hook. And we have Hugh Dane as Coach.
Oh my God, he is in Hook. I forgot
that too. He is in Hook.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, so he is. We have Hugh Dane as Coach. He was a great character actor. He played Hank on The Office, and he was in Bridesmaids, and he came back to Girl Meets World for an episode. And
did he?
Yeah,
he was on Girl Meets World.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he unfortunately passed away in 2018.
I didn't know that. He passed. Oh, he was great.
Yeah. And then we have Phil Proctor as a TV voice. He's a big voiceover guy. He was in Monsters, Inc. and Toy Story.
Yep.
And then Robert Clotworthy as a TV voice. He was another big voiceover guy. He is the current narrator of Ancient Aliens on the History Channel and was the voice of Charlie on the ill-fated Elizabeth Banks Kristen Stewart version of Charlie's Angels. Mm. Ill-fated.
Hello, angels. This movie's terrible. It wasn't good. I'm sorry.
So I have something to venture about this episode that I thought immediately, and then after finishing it, was fully convinced, and I'm very curious if you guys are with me.
I hope it's what you think you're going to say.
This was one of the first episodes we shot. We shot this within the first 3 or 4 weeks of Boy Meets World.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I also think there's a possibility this could have been considered the pilot at one point.
Yes.
I think so.
Because
I bet you this was a rejected pilot script.
Agreed.
That then 100%. Became episode 2 or 3 that then got punted because it was too much like the pilot that it got pushed into the mid-season, which is great. It actually, story-wise, is wonderful that it comes halfway through the season. But I am so with you, Will. I was like, this is one of Will's first episodes. I could tell by the way you're acting. I could tell by your discomfort level. Yep. I can tell by the way we have another black friend who never comes back.
Yeah. Like,
this was during the cycle of them trying to find a third friend. There's so much. And then I also just have a memory of the B Team of Life being one of our first episodes. I thought, I was like, we did this right after, I think, the Painting the Fence episode.
So I think
like
so too.
Right early
and
on.
It's also it's exactly the pitch of the show.
Yes.
Middle brother itis. He's lost in the fray.
Yeah.
Like this is exactly what the show is about. Danielle's not on it. That's another that's another thing. The show
I just
that
realized
wasn't.
When I started reading the synopsis, I literally just realized, oh, I wasn't in this episode. I don't ask me why. I didn't
you were
even
just
think
enjoying the show.
I was just enjoying the show. And then just now I'm like, hey, where was I?
I'm telling you, you're right, Ryder. This was a rejected pilot, I will guarantee you.
The rejected pilot script that Michael repurposed probably because they were like, well, you know, and I wonder if, you know, we've talked about how in the pilot, the first episode, when we did the pilot, the table read, he rewrote the show after that. I wonder if this was closer to the first draft of that script, became the storyline that was the pilot. And then this got, because I agree, man, it also feels like a play.
It does.
It feels like a real, like, the longer scenes. The acting is incredible in this episode. And I just
it just feels
like an early Boy Meets World. It's like a prototypical Boy Meets World. It's the most Boy Meets World episode I think we've seen.
It was a really phenomenal Ben showcase.
It was great. He was great. He was absolutely, this was the part of it was almost vaudevillian, the one man show kind of on stage.
Oh my God.
But also another hint to show how this would have been early and they just moved it. Eric mentions Heather again. Who was in the first few episodes. He's like, Heather mentioned seeing other people. Yeah. And that was way back in the beginning. So this is, there's no way this was 13th
or whatever.
I'm so curious
what the story is, why this ended up being,
Manel
will know. Yeah, we have Manel on. We will ask him about this. So let's put a pin in that.
I agree with you 100%. This was the pilot.
That's my bet. Yeah.
So let's jump into our recap. We are in the school hallway. The coach is putting a list in the school hallway of who made the basketball team.
And this is the only time we've seen the hallway set.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if this is going to come back. I mean, because this is a different hallway set.
I was going to say, is this different than the one you're locked in?
I think so.
In Corey's Alternative Friends? It
Isn't
is?
It?
Okay. I don't know.
Yes. This is a different hallway.
It's a different hallway. I don't know if we ever see this one again.
I don't think we do. I had never. You know what? This hallway looks much more similar to the hallway we have in season 2, where we have the heart, where there's those little staircase. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks more similar to that, but it's not quite the same.
The high school one.
The high school. The high school staircase. So yeah, it isn't the same though. So Corey, Sean, and their friend Harris are talking about the team, and Corey says there is nothing worse than second string, not even falling out of an airplane and landing on the Empire State Building on his eye.
I remember this. I remember all this shooting
Did you?
For some reason.
I didn't.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So I died laughing because I have a funny story about my brother that I tell all the time. It's one of my favorite little kid stories of all time was that my brother, when he was about 2 and a half, we were supposed to go to Disneyland, and I'm 4 years older than my brother. So I was like 6 and a half, and I was very excited and looking forward to Disneyland. And we were staying home from school, and early in the morning, before school would have started, before we were getting ready for Disneyland, my brother had diarrhea. He was sick. And
poor
he
Chris.
Said, when it happened at 2 and a half, he said, I thought I was going to toot, but then my belly fell out of my butt. And my mom was like, oh my gosh, he's sick. This is awful. We're not going to Disneyland. Danielle, you're going to school.
Oh,
and I was
like,
what? No, are you kidding me? And I was so angry with him that now I had to go to school and that we weren't going to Disneyland. And about a week or two later, we were driving down Imperial Boulevard in Orange County, Imperial Highway, and there was a car on the side of the road that had caught fire. And fire trucks, we hear the sirens and we go past it. And my brother says, totally seriously, Mommy, what's worse, diarrhea or having your car catch on fire? And he fully meant it. In his mind, Those wow. two things were on par.
We got to figure this out.
We got to figure it out, guys. And I just started laughing when Corey was comparing B-Team to falling on the Empire State Building. I love the way kids think. I just, yeah. I love
it. Well, there's so many questions. What kind of car is it? How long have you had the diarrhea? Like, there's so many variables to actually being able to answer that question. Oh, geez. Oh, that's fun. Also, by the way, just very briefly, everyone is in shirts that are 9 sizes too big. Every single, they're enormous.
Well, Ryder says that he thinks one of the reasons for his big shirts is that they were trying to make him look smaller. But I'm really curious what the excuse was then for Harris.
Everyone else. It was
everybody else.
It was like the shirts were supposed to go to the NBA, but got sent to us by accident. It was everybody. And also to something we always talk about is the Greeking out of stuff. You notice that Corey is holding a Paulding basketball.
Oh, Paulding.
Because you can't say Spalding, so it's just he's got a Paulding under his arm.
Yeah. Well, Harris joins us. He's another victim of the death chair.
Yeah. Oof.
So Corey says they don't have to worry, though. They aren't B-team type of guys. Minkus walks up and reads the list, and he is thrilled that he made the B-team. He runs off saying he can't wait to tell his dad, which is so cute. Sean and Harris made the A-team, but Corey made the B-team. Dun, dun, dun.
Just very, very quick, and we should have asked Lee this. Did we ever meet a Minkus? Another Minkus? Did we meet his parents ever?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so either. They never did like a parents' day or anything like that at the school.
Let's not ask this question because they did, we will get.
I'm just curious.
50,
did they meet in the llama pen? I'm just curious. Okay. I was just wondering. I couldn't remember if they'd ever cast like a Mr. or Mrs. Minkus.
I don't think so,
but we will find out in 50,000 emails for sure. Okay. So Sean says surprise-a-rama, which was a nod to Rob
Sean
Schneider.
In this scene, by the way, like I'm like suddenly this cocky jock dude. Like, what is going on? So I think again, Sean being decided as a character. This is probably
this is early.
This is so early. It's like me and Harris are basically interchangeable. Yep. Just sort of like dude bros calling out our friend. It's so weird.
Yeah. And then you guys say, no, it's cool, man, that you're on the B team. No big deal. And it's not like you're going to lose your friends. And then you run away from him at full speed.
Set up.
Exactly. So then we are in Mr. Feeney's classroom. Mr. Feeney is teaching the class about the Neanderthaloids. And
right. Because now we're in biology? Right. What's going on?
And we still don't know what this man does for a living.
Everything.
I'm not sure he's
but
a teacher.
But it's pure science, right? Like this.
Yeah.
Class is about science now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's about evolution. I mean, technically, it's about evolution.
But could you maybe make an argument that that's social science?
Studies?
Social studies?
If you're studying, I guess if you are getting into kind of archaeology and kind of.
No, because that would be about culture. That would be about physical. It would
sociology.
Not be physical anthropology. That is.
I get,
like,
anthropology. I get, it's very strange.
Oh, my God.
So Minkus, again, is the only student who knows the answer to a Mr. Feeney question. And Corey shows up late to class and he's like walks in right at the perfect timing. That was a cute joke.
The extra, the girl in the middle who plays the kind of is supposed to be like the Cro-Magnon. She's very funny.
Yes.
Like she had no dialogue, but just took that moment and had the face looked great. And she was very, very funny, I thought.
That was great casting. She really committed to, it was really great.
Because then the other joke is then she stands up and she towers over the two guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was so funny about it. She's like holding the little rock hammer in her hand because she's invented tools. And she's got the great face. And then she kind of stands up like, I can't believe I'm here. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought your look too, Ryder, when she kind of like bops you with the rock thing and you take it from her, the little look that you gave her with a smile and maybe like a little bit of a laugh, it was really sweet. It was an endearing moment. I bought that this was a classmate of yours that you had interacted with before.
I agree.
It was very sweet. So Corey shows up to class late. He has a note from the basketball coach. He tells Sean and Minkus that the list wasn't a mistake. He really did make the B team. Corey is so depressed, he doesn't even get up when the bell rings. And Feeney says he doesn't understand why Corey is so upset, because Minkus was really excited about being second string. And So yeah, Corey basically calls Albert Einstein Alvin Einstein. And he says that the B team is clearly for losers. Corey says that maybe he should just quit basketball altogether, and Feeney agrees. He says that based on natural selection, which is that day's lesson, that nature has already made a decision for him, and that Corey is the dodo bird of basketball. But Corey says, no, he's now going to evolve. He's going to be a better player, and he's going to prove Feeney wrong. And Feeney has a moment where he says, that's just so easy.
He had a couple fun throwaways in this. That's so easy. And the Alvin Einstein, this is my life.
This is my life.
That was a funny line, too, I thought.
But this is just a great performance by Bill, too.
Yeah.
The scene is just, he's so commanding. He's so theatrical in a way. You know, this is one of those scenes that felt like a play. I was like, oh, this is just an actor, you know, these two actors going at it. It's so fun. It's like peak Feeney.
Well, it's also old school Corey Feeney scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is the show. Yep. We haven't developed anybody else yet. This is the show.
Yep.
And it worked. I mean, it was great.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
As a podcast focused on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S., and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive, along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box, and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world. So then we are in Corey and Eric's bedroom. Eric is lifting weights on the bed. What do you remember how much those do you remember what the weight was on those?
Yeah, they were 250s.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
250 pounds each. They look smaller.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember what they were.
No, I was really impressed because I did think, for one thing, you probably had to do that a bunch of times. And I thought, even if you think like through one take, oh, yeah, these are light, you know, they're 10
pounds. He's working out throughout the whole thing because you're doing crunches too.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I remember there's an episode way late where I had to do push-ups. I think it was when Angela's dad came. Doing a
Angela's
military
men,
school thing.
I think, wasn't it?
And I remember having to do push-ups, and it was like by the fourth take, being like, oh, this was a bad call.
Yeah, why
did I choose to do this?
Well, there's also another episode where I'm lifting, and for some reason, Danielle, you're sitting next to me on the bed, like staring at my arms as I'm lifting. Do you remember that? Because I thought I'm lifting weights, and Corey's like trying to get you out of the room, and you're like staring at my arms, like, what was that, Corey? It was really creepy. Yeah.
In the Forgotten Years, season 4 or 5?
Yes, must have been like the later years. Yeah,
no,
it
had to be early. So Topanga was like checking Eric out?
Yeah.
Later?
It has to be first season.
No, it wasn't first season, because why would they never? I don't think you ever do a scene in the bedroom in the first season. I don't think you did.
I don't think so. No.
No, this is later. This is later.
Weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I could be imagining it, but I don't think I am.
Okay. We'll see when we get to it in 3 years.
We'll have to see. Yeah. Right, talk about it again.
This
9 years
very
now.
Early, Eric. Like,
yeah.
Working out to impress the girls and senior
always
jokes
girls.
And like,
there's nothing. It's just every.
No,
that's what I wrote
character.
Down. It's like, there's nothing else there. It's just girls. And I get that, but it's also like, dude, come on.
Yeah. This is really one note.
Yeah. And then all those lifting moves I do, I've talked about this. My brother was an amateur bodybuilder, so he's like, do the back one. So I like, turn
thought
around
of
and
that
do the back.
When,
yeah. That was Gary. Gary is best right there.
Yeah. So
but you in the mirror at the end of this scene is just so Will. Like, I loved it because it was like, that is one of those things that a writer puts down, like he flexes, you know, in three different ways, whatever. It's just a beat, but you make a meal out of it. And it's like, we could just keep the camera rolling. And like, we should have just kept going. I bet you would have had five more and it would have gotten funnier
stuff.
And funnier and funnier every time.
Oh man.
Well, so Eric says the new Eric is going to be here in 90 days, but Corey wants old Eric's help to get better at basketball. And Eric says that every 10th grade girl in America does dumped him because he's not a senior, and that's why he's trying to get buff. And then that leads into your fantastic flex show.
Yes, yeah. The scum. I remember doing the scum, scum, scum. I remember that because
I remember getting a
laugh at the run-throughs. Like, I remember the laughs at the run-throughs more than anything else because it's like,
well, that's especially when you know it's going to survive.
Yeah.
And
it's
also, otherwise it might get cut from the episode if you don't get a laugh.
If you don't get it. But it's also first season. You remember that the audience didn't really know us all that well yet, if at all, because the episodes hadn't really started airing. So they weren't fans of the show. They were just coming to see a show in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so it was like by the second or third take, you would hear the fake laugh where they would be like, ha ha. And they were like letting you know they were fake laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was when you did get the real laughs during the run-throughs. Those are the ones I remember from the first season. And then you start to feed off the audience when they come to see you. But that's what I remember more. Yeah.
I thought you were really impressive, the amount of working out you were able to do in this scene and still keep your breath.
Oh, yep. With the 250s.
Yeah, exactly. And knowing now that they were 250 pounds, it's really impressive.
Pretty impressive.
So we're in the Matthews living room. Amy is making Morgan a princess costume for her play. Corey walks in upset that his first basketball game didn't go well. He wants to tell Amy what happened, but Amy has to rush into the kitchen with Morgan to get cookies. Then Alan comes home from work and he apologizes for not making Corey's basketball game and asks him for a detailed play-by-play. Corey starts to tell him what happened, but then Eric barges in asking for $36,000 for a Corvette.
Of course.
I did think it was really smart teenage thinking to come in and be like, ask for the big thing. No, you're going to get a no on that. And then make sure you tell him, all right, I found a way. I'll save you $26,000. I just have to ride a motorcycle. Then they'll hate that idea so much.
Yep. Right.
Now the Corvette seems better. I thought that was smart teenage negotiating.
Thank you. I thought this is the scene, by the way, we talked about this scene when Rusty was here, because this was the scene where during one of the takes, he got something lodged in his throat.
Oh, this is the one?
This is the one. So instead, he was like, say it with me, Eric. Shoo-in! Because he's trying to get, and then Ben and I, of course, lost it. We absolutely lost, and he's like, sorry, and he had to stop, because he just couldn't get through it. And I'll never forget that for as long as, he was just trying to get it out. It was so funny. And such a pro to try to do it on his line. Right. Like, let me try to get it out. But he also had a great joke at the top. I laughed out loud at the, did you kill and eat a Vegas showgirl or whatever he said when he walked. He's so dry with it that it was just phenomenal. That was a great joke.
Yeah, that was. I forgot about that. With all the stuff on the table for Morgan's princess costume.
And again, to talk about what you're talking about, Ryder, Eric is talking about Heather, who we have not now talked. That was four girls ago for Eric. And he's now talking about Heather. So this has got to be an early episode.
So,
I'm sorry. It absolutely is. And we can prove that it absolutely is. You know how I know it is? Because I wrote it down and now it makes sense what I wrote down. Him jumping on the couch and talking to his family is in the opening title sequence.
Yep.
It's in the opening title sequence. Right. So this had to have been before.
We had filmed this before any episode aired.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, because this is in the opening title sequence.
So this is our second or third episode, and they must have pushed it, because it was probably too much like the pilot. I bet you they were like, we need to riff in other directions, because we can't just do a repeat of the pilot, because that's what this feels like. Yep. It's a great mid-season episode.
Yeah.
And it's all about this scene. This scene is so good.
I mean, it's great. Well, it's all Ben.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, yes, Ben's performance obviously anchors the scene. It just launches it. I mean, that was a complete mixed metaphor, but it's the choreography too. Like, it's all the characters coming and going, no one paying attention to Ben. You know, it's sort of like everybody's spinning around and everybody has their own plot line. Like, we establish Morgan with her, you know, little girl life that she's living. Will, your character with your wanting cars and girl. It's like all, and everybody's got their job established or their what, and Ben's getting lost in the middle until he says, everybody look at me, with this incredible acting moment. It's so good. It's the heart of Boy Meets World, like right here. It's just a full little mini play of all of Boy Meets World.
And you've got, I mean, that's got to be it. It's got to be that they couldn't have done two episodes like this in a row. So they moved it to the middle, because it is. That scene is in the opening title credits. So it's like, this was one of the first two or three we shot, I'll guarantee you. Definitely.
In walks Amy and Morgan again, delaying Corey's game explanation even more. So Corey starts to give a fake play-by-play where he wins the game at the buzzer just to get everyone's attention. And just when they are thoroughly impressed, he admits he didn't even get to play. Corey says he's a second string bench warmer, and even at home, because no one is paying attention to him, he is second string in his own family. And that he has so many words there.
I know.
And he does it all very well.
Yeah, he really does. He's great.
Quite an impressive little performance there.
Yep.
So we are in the Matthews kitchen. Alan tells Amy that Corey is overreacting, that this is, you know, no big deal. It's a basketball issue. Amy thinks that Corey is going through middle pause, and that he is the kid in the middle that isn't being heard. And this is such a cute scene between Betsy and Rusty, where they talk it out, realize one of their kids has fallen through the cracks and they decide what they're going to do. And they are going to go from, they had gone from when they had two kids, they were on man-to-man coverage. Then when they had a third kid, they went to zone defense. They have to fix this and they are going to double team Corey. Yep. And he walks out with the, I think the bowl of cookie dough.
Yeah. Yeah. And she smacks him on the tush.
And Rusty turns around like he's really angry about that. Like he's annoyed by that. And she goes, sorry, it's a sports thing. And it's just, great. It's so cute. I love
being
able.
It's a really great little scene. Yeah. And it's a non-Corey POV scene, which is interesting too. It's one of the few times. Is this the first time? No, because, I mean, Once in Love with Amy, they had their scene outside together. But have we seen just them in a scene start to finish by themselves?
Have we?
No, because like when they were doing the ice cream on the couch, Corey was obviously filming.
Corey comes in.
So this is like, I think this is one of the first times, and it's interesting to think that this was and maybe a filmed earlier, but this is a real like the parents are alone, get their own scene to discuss parenting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
This is also, every time I'm watching the show now, one of my biggest regrets is that I did not realize how good Betsy and Rusty were when I was on the show.
Yep.
I know.
I just wish I could have gone back and watched them work more because they're great.
Yes.
They're such a good couple. They are great.
I also really like that, you know, the non-Corey POV where we get to really see that these parents are involved and orchestrating.
Yep.
How they parent, and it's a regular conversation. It's not like a, we just do whatever comes naturally
to us.
We're
just not magically perfect parents. Yeah. We have to actually talk it out and make an agreement and have a strategy and approach. You know, it's so good. Yeah,
it's so smart. And it's nice for kids to see that, my parents don't know everything and they, there's a plan and that they're, I don't know. It's just, it was beautiful. It's such a little scene and yet it was just beautiful.
It's important. I'm also glad they explained a little bit because at first I was like, huh, that's weird. They explained why the parents weren't at his game.
Right. Exactly.
Because that was the thing that went through my head. It was like, how was nobody there? And then Rusty comes in. It's like, she's got Morgan and the household at the time. And then Rusty comes in like, I know I was supposed to be there. I'm so sorry. Because that was my first. I was like, what? Nobody's at the game? Right. So I'm glad they wrote to that and actually explained why no one was there.
Exactly. So then we're in the school cafeteria. Minka says he is still pumped from sitting and cheering for the team at the game. And there's a great single eyebrow raise from Ben. I thought it was when he's having that conversation with Minkus, it was really funny. Sean and Harris then run in and they bring Corey a magazine, a sports magazine, to show him an article about athletes who sat on the bench before they got their big break. And it really gives Corey hope. And I thought, this is such a beautiful Sean-Corey friendship thing. What a sweet thing for Sean to think of.
And really out of character with the Sean who's like pretty mean to Minkus or even in the beginning of this episode. Being
running away from Corey.
So this was such a nice gesture. It's like that's a really cool thing for some friends to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. I really I loved it. I thought that was very sweet. And then the basketball coach, so Corey now feels great about himself. Right. He's like, "Oh yes," and he reveals that he's suited up because they have a game that night. And the basketball coach comes walking by and tells Corey that second string players don't go to the away games, and he just sucks the wind out of Corey's sails.
This was one of the lines. This was one of the lines that we would say to each other for seven seasons.
Which one?
The second string doesn't suit up for away games.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah, we would do, yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, we would do this all the time. Like, somebody would walk by at craft service and be like, what are you doing? Second string doesn't suit up for the away games and, like, walk by.
Oh
yeah, this was, like, a thing.
That's
like, this was one of those lines we would repeat to each other all the time. This man was there, had, like, one or two lines and was so indelibly involved that we would quote this guy for,
that's
like,
so
7
funny.
Years. Yeah.
Wow, I don't
I
remember
can't believe
that
how bonkers
all.
It gets with Ben doing the Superman rip. Like, ripping off. It was so dramatic. Oh, my God.
It was great,
it's
though.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
So we are in the Matthews living room. Corey comes home looking for his mom and then realizes no one else is home. He turns on the TV and there's a news story about a mom who killed a Girl Scout troop when her daughter didn't sell enough cookies. And he says, there's a mom who cares. And then we see different cuts of Corey, who's been on the couch for hours. We see the light change. It's now evening. He's been watching TV for hours. No one has come home. He doesn't know what to do for food. He's only 11. It's 6:25. It's dinner time.
He was so good in this scene. I remember watching the rehearsal of the scene and then watching the run through and just being like, it's all him. It's just him. Mm-hmm. We're just going to keep the camera on him, let him run around the house. I'm on a schedule here. He was so good in this scene. I specifically remember watching this as they're putting it on its feet. Like, man, this is his show. Well, like, this is all
it's
him.
It's especially good because anytime you have a character talking to themselves in a scene, you want to try to minimize that as much as possible because it's like, who are you talking to? Like, you know, but it didn't feel that way here. It actually really felt.
He sold it.
Yeah, he sold it. He felt like a kid who would be like alone and be like, what's going on? I really bought it. It's really good.
I have one logistical question that maybe you can help me out with. So he gets home from school. So the school, they're supposed to go to the away game, but the B team doesn't travel with the away game. So he comes home after school. Nobody's home because they've gone to the game. He's then home until it gets dark. Did they not realize he was not at the game and come back? Like, why is after hours he then goes and steals Feeney's chicken? He then has Feeney drive him all the way to the game.
They stayed there.
To then finish the game. Is it a 6-hour basketball game?
Okay, like, here's how did it work? I think Corey's only on the couch for 20 minutes.
It just felt like a long time.
Right. This is just in his world, it was like into the night.
But
and
why
way
is
long.
Bill Daniels cooking dinner?
Cookie, because he says it's 6:30 now. I'm on a schedule here. So if he comes home after school, which is at what, let's say 3 at the latest for middle school?
Okay, but I imagine the away game might not start until 6. So it's just the after school, like he was going to be on the bus going to the away game and then playing the game later that night.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
My question is, how did the parents not get there and go, okay, they're not there?
I think he showed up because that's what he makes it in time that before the game is over.
Right. Let's say the game starts at 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they leave at 2:58. To go to the away game, which is hours away. We know that I wrote
down
where...
Yes, they actually mentioned a place, Cheltenham. Yeah,
Cheltenham, exactly, which I looked up, and we'll talk about it in a second. So they left at 2... Right before he got home, they left for the away game. It took them hours to get there. They arrive at the game at 6:30, which is right around the time Corey realizes, now, you're right, then they have to drive 3 hours or however long we think it took the Matthews to get there.
But he mentions Feeney's driving fast. But still, I mean, unless you're doing 180.
Again,
totally nitpicking. But I was but just curious how the timing worked out.
Yeah, I'm not you're right. I'm not sure there's any way it makes sense without him time traveling.
To then make the game in time to get into the game.
You would think once the game starts and you go, second string isn't on the bench.
Here?
You then
go home.
Our son is home alone.
Right.
We
at
have
least
to get
call.
Back.
Let's at least call.
Let's call
Feeney
and tell
something.
Him.
Right.
Go check
you have
on
to,
Corey.
Can you go check on Corey? Yeah. Right. So something like that would happen.
Just curious.
Well, Corey goes into the kitchen and he sees that Mr. Feeney is grilling in the backyard, or maybe it's the side yard. And he calls Feeney. He calls Feeney's house. And when Feeney goes inside, Corey runs to the grill to grab the chicken. But on his rush back over the fence, the chicken falls into the planter and is covered in dirt. And he squats down so that he hopefully isn't seen. But Mr. Feeney sees him. And Corey tells Feeney that his family has abandoned him because he is a second string basketball player and maybe they're ashamed of him. Feeney is the one who tells Corey his family did not abandon him. They went to his basketball game in Cheltenham, which is in Montgomery County and is a bit of a drive, but they are in the district. So, although
I'm so glad you looked this up.
Yes. Feeney teaches every subject, he does not know that second string does not go to the game. So when the Matthews tell him they're going to the game, he doesn't say anything. I mean, you could have saved everyone a real big hassle if you just said, oh, he won't be there.
but something like that.
He didn't know that, apparently.
Okay.
So this basketball game in Cheltenham, I looked it up. It is in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, or Cheltenham, is a bit of a drive, he says, from where the Matthews are. But because of the basketball game, it must be in the same district.
Oh.
So
it is. So it's near Philadelphia. It's not completely.
No.
How far is Cheltenham from Philly? Did anybody look this up?
I didn't look that part up.
I also have so many problems with the way he's grilling that chicken, but I won't even get into that.
What are your issues?
Well, first of all, it's an entire chicken, so it's not spatchcocked. So,
What do you mean? What's spatchcocked?
Spatchcocked.
So you take the breath, you take the backbone out of the chicken, and you flatten it so
you
can cook it on a grill
in Connecticut.
What is that? What does grilling have to do with Connecticut? I know how to grill.
Because he had to pluck his own
chicken.
You had
to pluck his chicken. Yeah, you had to, you had to kill the chicken, pull the feathers off.
First of all,
rip its spine out,
normal, apparently. That's a normal morning, is killing the chickens. That's how you start. That's what you do after you milk the cows. Everybody knows that. That's a regular day. Oh, wait. I just got from Tara. Cheltenham is to Philly is 30 minutes.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's not bad.
So we are within a couple of... A bit of a drive from Philadelphia, but still within the same district.
No, when you cook a whole chicken, I'm not going to get into the entire... Cooking an entire chicken on a grill like that can be done, but it's difficult. You want to take out the backbone and flatten it, because then you can get your grilling both sides as opposed to, like, the inside cavity of the chicken. Mm. So, and he's also... A lot of times what you'll do is you'll get the grill on it, and then you can move it to the cooler side of the grill, and then oven it, you put the top on.
Right.
Feeney was doing it in kind of a strange way. That's all I'm saying. Wow. He might be better than me, but that's all I'm saying. Ryder would like more emails about the llama pen. I just want to put that out there.
This scene felt very theatrical to me. It felt very with Ben like hopping over the fence and grabbing the chicken and then burying it. It was fun. I was like, oh, this is it doesn't. I feel like we got away from this as the show went on.
Yeah.
Sort of longer scenes with physical humor and characters really just
farcical
stuff. Yeah, but
this is also the only acting moment from Ben I thought was forced. Was when he jumps over the fence and drops the chicken on the ground, he doesn't take a moment to go, I dropped the chicken.
Right,
he just instantly starts to bury it. Like, he doesn't register that. Like, you could tell it was all timed.
Right, yeah.
So it was like, drop the chicken, bury the chicken, lay down. Right. And then he actually does this for 2 seconds to try to make himself smaller so Feeney can't see him, which is so funny that he just does that.
Covers they can't see him. I don't see him. Right.
Yeah, it was very funny. But yeah, that was my only moment from Ben where I was like, oh, he didn't register the chicken fall. But other than that, the chicken that wasn't cooked properly, other than that, it was good.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all 3 courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right. And that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Summer is steadily approaching, and you know what that means.
Wearing a shirt at the beach so I don't look like a sad radish for the entire vacation?
Okay, maybe.
Being thirsty?
Yes, Ryder, you got it. It is time to go outside and bask in the glory that is sunshine with barbecues and hikes and trips to exotic locations.
With your shirt on?
Yes, with your shirt on.
It is time to jump into a camper van with your son and your wife and
torture everyone. Well, with all these summer activities, it's so important that you stay hydrated.
And we're here to tell you all about Liquid IV. It has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick.
It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
You just rip open a packet and pour it into your water and bam, you're hydrating with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. But most importantly, it tastes good.
It's so easy and perfect after a workout, which I do to replenish after a nice long run.
And you can travel with Liquid IV right there in your pocket. Add it to a water on a flight or after a big night when you need just a little assistance to get up in the morning.
Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. And with sugar-free flavors like white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime, you can't miss.
Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV.
Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com. Corey asks Feeny to drive him to the game, and when Corey starts crying, Feeny says yes, but he also says, have some dignity, man. Mm-hmm. And then he says, my car's out front. And then he goes towards the back of the, you know, he goes back toward where the cars upstage. Were. He goes upstage. Where everyone who's
That's
ever talked
the
about
is.
Their car,
That's
that
be the
is
street.
The direction
There's
of
a
the street.
Street. With Got driveways it. Going to Feeney's house and the Matthews house from there.
Yeah. From that it's direction. He goes yeah. back yeah. there, yes.
He also doesn't cover the grill when he leaves. Let's talk about the fire hazard. Safety first, people. Safety first. He just leaves. He leaves an
You're
open
right.
flame walks and away. Walks away. Yeah.
Hmm. Mm. Good point.
Just saying. Just
well,
saying.
Someone call the fire department.
Exactly.
We're in the Matthews family living room. The family, who appears excited, walks in after Corey's basketball game. Morgan kisses Corey goodnight and tells him he was awesome. Corey scored 6 points because 3 first-stringers fouled out and he was needed to fill in. And Ben is wearing very popular Air Jordan 8s. They're called Bugs. Normally the tennis shoes have been kind of Greeked out where we haven't been able to tell if they're Jordans or not, but these were not.
That's and, right. You're a sneaker person, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a sneaker. And yeah. I have also, there's like been articles about the sneakers of Boy Meets World. And these are. These
really?
Are, yeah, these are mentioned. Yeah. So Morgan says she doesn't want Amy to read her a story. Well, actually, we don't see Morgan say that. But Amy comes downstairs and says that she didn't want her to read a story. She wants the big basketball star to read her a story. Alan says he's proud of Corey and the way he handled being home alone. Corey says it was survival of the fittest, but he also says Holcomb.
He did. I got a Holcomb. I got a Holcomb written down.
Again, first step. This it's is the first. It was brought it to his attention.
Yep. Yeah. Can we also that it was talk about on. How super creepy it is that Eric walks in and says those 6th grade girls thought I was so cool?
No.
I didn't think it was creepy.
No.
I think
come
it was more
on.
I thought it was more pathetic. It's more like, it's, oh,
exactly.
this is like
okay, I found it a little creepy. I did. I'm sorry.
No,
I might
it's
be
not,
reading too much into it.
By the way, they thought if you were cool, said it was the other cool, way around, right. then it would have been creepy. Mm-hmm. But every teenager, male, female, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Feels cool when they realize they're the age when they remember yep. thinking other people were cool.
No, I get
and
it.
Now
it's just,
I'm yeah. the cool.
It struck yeah. the ear wrong for me for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, no, you're
okay,
reading
totally
too much into
totally
it.
Totally on me. No yeah. problem. No problem.
So Alan and Amy tell Corey that it doesn't matter to them if Corey sits on the bench or if he plays in the game, they are always going to support him. They want Corey to be honest with them. And he says no one was listening to him when he was trying to tell them what happened. And Alan says he just needs to grab his face and say, "Hey, Dad, listen to me," to get his attention. Corey says he can tell the good parents from the bad parents when he visits friends, and he knows that he has good parents, is what he alludes to. Was anyone else a little confused about what Corey thought he had to apologize for? Hmm. Corey says, "You know, I feel a little bad about some of the things I said." And I started thinking back to the scene where he kind of exploded about no one's listening to me. And I was like, I don't think he didn't say anything mean about anybody.
Maybe it was just the thing. Maybe he might have felt bad by saying, like, I'm second string in my own family. Yeah. Maybe he just felt bad about that. Like, that was too much of a dig.
Implying that they're bad parents.
His intention was to make them feel bad, right?
Right.
Like, he was like, hey, listen, no one's listening to me.
Yeah.
You guys are all being, you know, happy family members.
I mean, that's like, maybe I went too far with saying that, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well,
what he's saying is that he was wrong, right? Like, he sees now that they do genuinely care for him. They do pay attention to him. It was just in that moment he lost sight of that.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. My first thought was like, wait a minute, did he say something specifically mean? But you're right. He did imply this family is bad to me. And now he's realizing I had a bad moment. I had a bad week where maybe I didn't feel heard, but in general, this is a beautiful family and I'm well taken care of.
I thought there was something very interesting about an 11-year-old character already going to friends' houses and realizing there are bad parents and bad marriages out there.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was something very interesting about that moment of, like, I'm cognizant of what some of my friends have, and so I appreciate what
I have. Does that seem realistic to you?
I think it can, I mean, I think, again, it depends on what you're surrounded by, but, playing hindsight is 20/20, and knowing where Sean Hunter's family ends up, and if he spends time in the trailer park with Sean, he might know what that dynamic is like. So I thought there was something kind of astute about.
Yeah,
I can already see that.
I don't know if I would have articulated it as a kid, but I definitely remember like going over to some friends' houses and being like, I don't want to come back here.
Not
because of the friend, but because of the vibe at the house, right?
Sure.
Like, there would just be a dynamic that you're like, this is not good. I do not feel comfortable here. Yeah, and you always have to kind of trust that as a kid.
There's an underlying tension, or you can tell the parents aren't
getting
along.
And it's so funny because now as a parent, you know, especially post-pandemic, I'm introduced to like sending Indy to friends' houses who I've never met the parents, or like I've just briefly met them at pickup or drop off. And then I'm like, oh yeah, take my kid for a couple of hours. And you have that moment of like, I hope Indy knows like to just trust his gut and be like, and then let me know if he doesn't want to be there or if he finds it weird or whatever, you know, because I have no way of knowing.
Even if it's not a bad feeling in the house, I know that growing up, one of my best friends was Marissa McKinley, and her mom, Margaret McKinley, was very maternal about injuries. Like if you got hurt at all, it was very much like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Let me fix that for you. Here, let's put some ice on it. Here's some Neosporin. Do you need a Band-Aid? And my mom was always 100% of the time, unless you were like very clearly hurt, my mom was like, you're fine.
My mom was the same way.
Get up. Yeah. You're good. You had an accident. And I remember having an accident outside of Margaret McKinley's house and getting scraped up. And Margaret McKinley picked me up, babied the heck out of me, and carried me. I was like 9 years old. Carried me all the way to my house, which was on the kind of the same block, but kind of far away. And my mom opened the door and Margaret was like, Danielle fell. And my mom said, put her down. She's fine. Danielle, you're fine. You're fine. And Margaret like put me down and I was like, but I remember thinking like, my mom doesn't do this for me at all. And so it wasn't I just do remember thinking like, hey, other people handle things differently.
Yeah.
I think I need some more babying.
Well, there was that thing just went around the internet like a couple days ago about the father who's being praised where the daughter like falls on her bike and she starts to cry and he's like, are you hurt or are you scared?
Yeah.
And she like stops and thinks about it. She's like, he's like, I think I'm scared. He's like, all right, then we're going to get back up on your bike. Like it was that kind of like, putting it on her. Like, are you really hurt? Because if you are, I'm here. But are you just hurt? Or are you scared?
Right.
And it was a whole big thing. Yeah. Which is that same kind of thing where it's like, all right.
So just learning about different families and how different families do things, you do get a sense for
different dynamics. Sure.
Exactly. So then we're in the tag in the school hallway. Corey is telling Minkus, Sean, and Harris that Mr. Feeney is a maniac behind the wheel of his gremlin. The group cannot believe that Mr. Feeney has a bad boy side. And just at that moment, Mr. Feeney walks down the hall with sunglasses and leather gloves, telling the basketball coach he beat him racing because you snooze, you lose.
I totally remember filming this scene.
Do you?
Yes. Because the gloves, like, I totally remembered this scene. The second it started, I was like, oh, that's right. He's going to walk in and have this little joke. Yeah, it's funny. I don't know why.
Well, to end this episode, I brought a little bit of trivia.
Wait, very quickly before we get to that, I have a question for you. This is 94?
Yes, 94. January something, 94.
I will guarantee you that the reason they made it a Gremlin is because Wayne's World was still so big, and they brought the Gremlin back, and they were driving that really cool Gremlin, and it's another nod to that's the hottest thing out there right now.
Interesting.
Just saying.
There you go. All right. So
trivia time.
It's U.S. history trivia, because we've done a bunch of pop and U.K. and whatever. This is U.S. history. It's just one question.
Okay.
The January 19th, 1994, so just a few days before this episode aired, marked the coldest day in U.S. history, recorded in Cleveland, Ohio. Temperatures dropped to what degrees Fahrenheit?
Oh, geez.
Do we get a multi-choice, or we're just
we just have to randomly pick a number?
Just randomly throw out what you think.
What is the coldest temperature ever recorded in U.S. history?
It was in Cleveland, Ohio. 1994.
Does it include the wind chill? I would say minus 28 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
God, I don't understand. I'm such a California kid. I don't know how cold things get.
I don't get these numbers.
I don't know how cold things get. I mean, I would have assumed the coldest would have been in Alaska. Are we the lower 48? Is it separate? Okay. I'll say negative 20. I don't know. I'll just go 20.
Ryder nailed it.
Oh, yes. Man. Minus, wow.
That was such blind luck.
Minus 20.2. So it was actually negative 29 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Which was 20.2 degrees Fahrenheit in Cleveland, Ohio. I thought that was really interesting.
Wow. I believe, and I'm looking this up before I forget, if I'm right, but I believe. January 17th, 1994.
I have January 19th, but yes.
January 17th, 1994, so 2 days before this aired, was the earthquake.
Right. No, yes. So the Northridge earthquake was 2 days before the coldest recorded U.S. history date.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So that was the earthquake
also
was 2 days before this aired.
Also in January of 1994, Lorena Bobbitt was found guilty with an insanity plea.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The Nancy Kerrigan thing happened?
In 94?
In 94.
Wow.
January of 94.
When we get to that episode, I'll tell you how I put my foot in my mouth with Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, I know. Nancy Kerrigan, guest star of Boy Meets World.
Yeah, I said something where I was like, really?
Well, let's see if we can get her. And you can talk about your foot and mouth moment.
Oh, God.
Do you think she remembers being on our show? She must, right?
I don't know.
Yasmin Bleeth apparently
doesn't. Talk about cold. We shot in Lake Placid, and it was like minus something while we shot on this pond outside.
Oh, my gosh.
And they dyed my hair to look like the skating extra. You think they dye the skating extra's hair, but no, they dyed my hair.
Are you serious?
To look like the guy. So I had super dark hair. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Wait till we get to that episode. I have so much to talk about that episode.
Did it wash right out after the episode?
No. Then I did a number of episodes where I'm just dark brown hair for some reason.
Well, that's like people noticed they plucked our eyebrows when Ben and I dressed as girls on the show.
Mm.
And you notice for the next couple episodes, we have plucked eyebrows because
Oh, that's so funny. I feel like that should be easy to cover too, without needing to pluck your hair.
When was the OJ chase? Wasn't that January 17th, 1994?
Yeah.
The day of the earthquake?
No, it wasn't the day of the earthquake. No,
oh my gosh, imagine that day.
Maybe it's 95. I want to say it's the 17th.
Watching OJ trial during Boy Meets World, like while we were taping.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever that was, we were definitely keeping up with the case.
Oh, yeah. We took a break to hear the, yeah.
June 17th.
June 17th, 1994. What a year, 1994.
1994 was a crazy year.
Well, yeah. Our next episode is going to be season one, episode 15, Model Family. And remember to look for the titles on Disney Plus. So look for the titles, not the episode number, because Disney Plus has them out of order. If you are following along on the DVDs, then you're in luck. We're going along with the DVD order. And so episode 15, Model Family, aired February 4th, 1994. Also, for those of you watching on Disney Plus, it does catch up. It does become normal in like a couple episodes. So we're not going to have to make this note to you a bunch. I think like in one more episode, it gets back to normal, so you'll be fine. But thank you.
Do we know
all
why that happens? Do we know why that happened?
Mm-mm. I feel like curious. It was user error somehow in the upload of whoever put them into Disney Plus. It was a mistake. Yeah.
But the DVDs are the proper air date.
Yes, the DVDs went with air date order, which is what we're following, and it just so happens to be that the DVDs follow that. So
gotcha.
Thank you all for listening. This has been Pod Meets World. You can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we've got merch.
Merch.
Podmeetsworldshow.com. We've got a lot of t-shirts. And we've also gotten your messages that you guys are interested in having some other stuff. Maybe a mug or Will is showing us that he's wearing his Hold the Plane
Hold
for
the plane
Minkus
for Minkus
shirt.
Limited edition.
Hold limited the plane edition
for
shirt.
Minkus. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we love our limited edition shirts. You guys seem
Can
to really
say,
like them too.
Say something very briefly because I'm kind of crazy when it comes to t-shirts. So is my wife. They're really soft.
Yeah, that was like, very important to me.
Good
they're
t-shirts.
Good quality yeah. t-shirts. I did yeah. not want thick or stiff.
No,
they're
scratchy
soft,
or no, these
already
are great.
Worn in yeah. great shirts. Ryder, I gave him his the other day. We had a little get together at our house and Ryder left his behind.
Yep,
so
I
brought mine, Danielle.
You brought yours home. And by the way, had you left yours, much easier to get back to you because you're
true.
Steps mm-hmm. away from me. Ryder.
Oh, by the way, I walked home from your house. It is 14 minutes.
A 14-minute walk.
It's a 14-minute walk at, I would say, a regular clip, just
Why
so you know.
Why didn't we just drive you? Well, because I had to go pick up my son.
I was also kind of looking forward to the walk.
Yeah, okay. I offered him a ride.
Yeah, no, okay, I offered, sure. but I was looking yeah. forward to the walk. Yeah, it was 14 minutes, just so you know.
All right, great. Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, Ryder, you want to send us out?
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers, Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or send us an email at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.